Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even when she was quite ill, Jacinta, one of the three little children of Fatima, used to drag herself along the country lanes of their village to church for weekday mass. Now, Lucy, who's still alive today, they say, Lucia, used to try to persuade her cousin to take it easy. She was sick, and there was no obligation to go to church during the week, but she would always answer, "I'm going for sinners who don't even go to Mass on Sundays." I wonder if Jacinta knew that other lady whose feast we are also keeping today, she appeared on a mountain, and two children saw her as she sat weeping. This happened in southern France at La Salette, some 70 years before Fatima, Mary weeping because even Catholics wouldn't keep the Lord's Day holy by hearing Mass or fast and abstain during Lent. In any case, Jacinta knew Our Lady, and to know Mary is to know her sorrows, and somehow to be drawn to compassionate them. If you saw your mother seated weeping today, your first response would be, "What could I do to help?" And that's what we do. We help. That's what the little children of Fatima did. We call that making reparation. Now, Our Lady is called of sorrows, not because of all of the bad things that happened to her in her lifetime, but because of the way she joined her heart, her immaculate heart, with the heart of God, who sorrowed so after seeing, because of seeing, all of the sorrow, all of the suffering that sin brings on this world. Mary saw her own son, God's son, rejected by his own people. And then all of the insults of that trial and the condemnation, the way of the cross, the crucifixion, all of this pierced her heart with seven swords of sorrow. Hers, Mary's, were the sorrows of a mother, but also of an intercessor who sees her son's suffering, who sees all of the suffering of all of the world, a world which she loves, along with God the Father, and wants to somehow turn it to Jesus. But the world won't, and therefore this woman weeps. When we weep, when we mourn, and we all do sooner or later, even if liquid doesn't necessarily flow out of the tear ducts, where do we turn for comfort? I mean, especially when death comes, the separation from someone whom we love. Well, finally, it's often not first place, but finally, we do turn to the church. There is the funeral. There is the Mass. And I've noticed that often people seem genuinely consoled at church. It really does seem to help them. And I've noticed something just this year, how after the death of a stalwart, longtime parishioner, his children or grandchildren who are, we would say, fallen away mostly, who don't usually come to church anymore, well, almost instinctively, they'll come for a while. It might just be one Sunday. Sometimes it was a few weeks, or perhaps even a month or two, for a decent interval. They come to church again because of that death. But then, I'm afraid that the spiritual life gets stamped out of them because the other life goes on and there are cares and there are worries in this world. And I wonder if they stop coming because the healing is complete. You know, if your sickness goes away, you don't need to see the doctor anymore. Our Lord asks today in this gospel, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? The answer, of course it is. Aside from that zeal that the Son has for his Father's glory at Calvary, at the Mass, the only reason for us having the Sunday observance is so that God can heal us, our loving Father. We have that curious little statue in the side chapel now I brought back from Mexico. It's called El Niño Doctor, the child doctor. Jesus, the Mexicans see him as a doctor. He's wearing a little lab coat, and on his pocket is embroidered Dr. Jesus. It's a kind of a cute, childish way of expressing a very profound truth. Our Lord is come to heal us. And when is he going to meet us, if not on Sundays? What wounds we pick up in the course of a week? What damage gets done to faith and charity in just a few conversations, and our souls and our families too? No wonder God obliges us under penalty of death to hear Mass. How else could we live if we could get to Mass and we just don't bother to? Every Sabbath day then, the first of the week, we either get healed at Holy Mass or that wound gets a little bit more infected and it leads to death. Another thing I've noticed just this year, that some of our old families at St. Gertrude's, who have been with us since the 80s, are sort of fading out. The grandparents, when we first opened St. Gertrude's, happily discovered the old Mass and faith, and they started to raise their children back in the traditional way. And then those children married and had grandchildren, and some of them have been baptized, and some of them have received the sacraments. But now the grandparents are gone, death, or going, old age. And the adult children don't come to Mass too much anymore. And the grandchildren, theirs is a different world. And St. Gertrude's is nothing more than an occasional stop of duty or a bit of nostalgia. And one day, one day that family name will no longer be on our rolls, and everyone in it will have fallen away. There'll be no one, not one left in the whole family to carry on that fine tradition. Now, this is a great loss to any family. This is a great loss to immortal souls, and it is a great loss to us. Of course, the church will go on. People come and go for all sorts of reasons. It's perhaps the measure of the instability of our age. But however, I wonder, however will we persevere? We Catholics of uncompromising principle, we who say no to all of the compromises or the enticements of that one world religion, the Novus Ordo. Time, after all, does take its toll on all of us, as do troubles. There are deaths, and there are defections, the usual divisions or differences. And these are all sorrows. These are sorrows. But you must do your part to comfort Our Lady's tears by building up her son's church. You have to be apostles. You know, the Protestant group that bought our old church in Sharonville call themselves the New Apostolic Church. When Father Chicada heard that, he cracked, "Well, we must be the Old Apostolic Church." And all of you old apostles, listen, you must do your duty. The first duty of a Christian is to adore his Lord God, St. Ignatius says. And that we do not just privately, but in the public work of the sacred liturgy, a corporate social action of subjection, of worship to God, the Mass. You have to be an apostle. But after all, we are a minority. We are the minority of a minority. That's good for our humility. But a minority has to go forward, or else it will be submerged and one day cease to be. Talk, feelings, occasional masses, like occasional tears, that's not enough. Action is the demand of the hour. Tell the truth, yes, but live it too, will you? Give God his due. I conclude with a little story about a Cincinnati boy, a city boy, who was invited to spend the summer at his uncle's farm out in the country. He loved it. He didn't have to compete with his brothers and sisters for anybody's attention, and he enjoyed all the new things he learned, and he even got to drive the tractor sometimes. But one thing he grumbled about most every Sunday was that long trip he had to make to Sunday Mass. Well, his uncle was a quiet man, as farmers tend to be, and never said anything about it. But one Sunday after Mass, they stopped at Grater's to pick up some ice cream. And the uncle didn't buy one or two, but having ascertained the favorite flavors of his nephew, he picked up 7 pints. It's so precious, that stuff they just sell, little tiny pints, you know. 7 pints. And without saying a word, as he left the store, he handed it to his nephew. Well, the boy thanked him profusely. He was thinking to himself, 7. That's going to be one for each day of the week. If I'm lucky next week, maybe there'll be a repeat of this. This summer is starting to look pretty good. Later on that day, though, in the evening, his uncle said to him, "Say, Tommy," he said, "would you mind if I had one of those pints of ice cream?" And he said, "Well, after all, Uncle, seeing that you gave me all 7, you could sure have as many as you'd like to." And his uncle stopped, and he looked at him, and he said, "You know, Tommy, you are more generous with me than you are with God." And the boy didn't understand what he was talking about. He said, "Why, you don't grudge me any of these Grater's ice creams that I got you today, but you grumble about giving God even 2-3 hours of one day out of the 7 that he gives you." Makes sense, doesn't it? Especially when you consider not only God's glory, but all of man's needs, our hurts, our sorrows. They are going unhelped. We're walking around unhealed because we won't keep the Sabbath day. No wonder Mary weeps. Our Lord says, "Give, and it shall be given to you." And I remind you, give, or one day we will be gone. Give. Give generously. And what will he not give to you, he and his mother, in return? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.